we're going to continue in our vision mission series talking about the church, who we are, and how that impacts us. And actually, as I was working yesterday, I had a little bit of a revelation. I was trying to fix my wife and I's air conditioner unit, our HVAC system. And if you know anything about me, that is not in my skill set, nor is it in my giftings, nor is it anywhere near any of those. And so about one air compressor, 2 hours, three smash fingers later, I realized I should have just called somebody. It would have been way, way better and probably cheaper for me just to admit there are people who can do what I cannot. And yet I didn't call somebody because if I really were to think about it and be honest with myself, I didn't want to admit that there's somebody who can do what I can't. And when I admit that there's somebody out there who can do what I cannot, in some ways I feel lesser than or I feel weak. And when I feel weak, I begin to question, am I really as valuable as the Lord says I am? And I think we've all felt that way before where we go, man, do we really fit in? Do we really belong? If you're honest with yourself, you're pretty sure you've been caught up in the pattern of comparing yourself. And you really do wonder, are you good enough? Does it matter if you're here? Does anybody really notice you? And is your performance really changing anything about who people say you are? Paul has an answer to it, and he says in 1 Corinthians that you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. He says, you as an individual, you get to be the hands and feet of Jesus to the world, and you as the many get to come together and form the entire body of Christ for others. We get to make up the body of Christ. Just as many fish form one school of fish, so too do the many of us form the body of Christ. Have you guys ever seen some schooling fish? I was at the beach a few years ago with my wife, and I'm pretty sure a mako and a great white mated to make a megalodon, and it was swimming right at me. And so I left my wife and just bolted out of the water to turn around and see just like a few schooling tarpons or something. But if you've seen this, you can realize that fish, when they swim together, they actually make up something bigger than themselves. And we too, as the body of Christ, when we come together in our differences and our diversity, we make up something much bigger than ourselves. Aspen are actually the largest living organism. Did you know that? And it's because they share the same root system. All of these yellow trees in this valley, that's one organism. And in the same way that one aspen system is made up of the many individual aspen trees, so too is the body of Christ, made up by the many of us and our unique giftings and talents given to us and created inside of us by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You are the body of Christ, and each one of you makes it up. Now, Paul writes this part of Corinthians to the people of Corinth to tell them, hey, you don't have to worry about your diversity. Look, it's actually your diversity that leads to unity. And this is one thing that I think our culture actually agrees with Scripture on. There is unity to be found in diversity. But Paul actually takes it a step further, and he says that it's diversity in the Holy Spirit that leads to true unity. And I agree with him. The people of Corinth were nervous because they were looking around and they actually thought that people who could speak in tongues had the greatest gift of all. And so they're writing Paul going, what do we do for these people? How do we handle it? And Paul writes to him, he goes, no, you guys are elevating some gifts above others. That isn't what this is about. Just because you have this gift or that gift doesn't make you more important or more valuable or more prestigious. And the comparisons of the people of Corinth led them to make value judgments on their own self. If they weren't a certain financial situation, they thought they were less than. If they weren't gifted in the right way, they thought they were less than. And I think we do the same thing. We begin to compare ourselves with others. And when we don't live up to what we think we ought to, we believe we're less than. And Paul writes to them and he goes, no, not here. That isn't how it works in the body of Christ. You see, out in the world, you might have to earn your keep, but not here in the church. Out in the world, you might have to prove your own value. You might have to prove yourself, but not here in the church. And so he writes to the people of Corinth saying, in the body of Christ, you belong, and the same is true for you and I. You all belong here. You fit in here. You don't have to earn anything because it's already been earned for you by Christ. You did nothing to fit in here. Jesus did it all for you. And that's the beauty, is that we get to love each other as we all belong together. I don't have to be someone I'm not. I get to be who the Lord created me to be. Nick Luttrell doesn't have to be anyone he's not. He gets to be exactly who the Lord created him to be. And this is what Paul wants the Corinthians to understand. And so he writes an analogy for him. He says, now if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Paul writes this analogy to help the people understand, hey, there are feet, there are hands, there are ears, and there are eyes, but there's one body. And he does that so that they might see that they too are different in their personalities, giftings, talents, but they're one body of Christ. And so we're going to walk through this. I get it. I always say Paul's wordy. He's a little hard to understand. And it's really hard when he starts talking about body parts. And you're going, okay, hey, if we read this whole thing, what's the next part he's going to mention? What's going on? How are the hips going to be talking? If the foot's talking? And we're going to just look at it, because I think the reality is it actually makes sense and it perfectly applies to us. He says, now if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it wouldn't stop belonging. And if the ear says, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong. You got this foot that wants to be a hand, and an ear who wants to be an eye. And I can imagine the foot thinking, man, I don't get to hold anything. I just walk on the ground all the time. I don't ever get to be seen. All I do is get covered in dirt and shoes. And all of a sudden, as this foot begins to look to something else that it perceives as more important and more valuable, it begins to diminish its own self-worth and say, I don't belong here. The hand is way better. It has way cooler jobs. It gets to do way different things than I do. And the ear does the same thing. It just goes, I'm the second-rate sense. And the eye is the cool one. It gets to see stuff. It gets to behold the love of their life. It gets to look at the newborn child. It gets to actually visually see something. I just hear them. And the ear begins to say, I'm not as good as the eye. I'm just second rate. I'm the third wheel. I'm the pity invite. If the eye goes out, then maybe I can help a little bit. And for the body parts that they perceive as more important, they offer more value and they diminish themselves. And sadly, this is exactly what we do. We begin to diminish our own value as we compare ourselves to others. And the crazy thing is, we do this for all aspects of our life. I mean, let's talk about giftings. For some odd reason, we have decided that athletics is the most important and the coolest thing ever. And so for somebody who's gifted in athletics and is an athlete, we begin to go, man, that guy's got it together. He's really proving his worth because he starts on the football team. Man, she actually gets to play. She's the head of the cheer squad. She must be worth something. And even if we're not saying that in our mind, we begin to think it as we say, if only I was like them. If only I had the same gifts and talents that they did, people would begin to notice me. I wouldn't be walking around by myself all the time. I'd have friends who cared if I could just be like someone else. We don't just do it with our giftings. We do it with our personality. We look around and go, man, if only I had a more charismatic personality, people would really start to listen to me. They notice her. She's got the smile. She knows how to talk to everybody. Everybody feels welcome around her. If only I was like her, then people would care for me. Then I'd have some value. Then I could actually affect change in this place. And we look at people's personalities, which are given to them by God, and we begin to compare ours against theirs. We do it for situations in our life, things that we can't even control. And we begin to go, oh, I come from a broken home. There's no way that I could affect change. I don't know what it's like to actually have a dad in the picture. And so there's no way that I'm as valuable or I'm as worthwhile or that I'll be as good as a dad as someone else. And the very things that we can't even control, we count against ourselves to negate and diminish our own value. And this might be the scariest one. We do it with our testimonies. Think about that. You do this with your testimonies. I've heard people say, I don't have as good of a testimony as he or she does. I don't have as cool or as impactful as a testimony because they went through some big, bad, scary thing and came out on the other side. They get to say that their testimony is better? How dare we scoff at Christ on the cross as he writes redemption into our lives? We're going to compare the story Jesus is writing for us? And we're going to say that ours isn't as good, that Jesus messed up with my testimony, and it's not as good as someone else's? How dare we? That's where comparison leads us to negate what Christ did, diminish our value, and then look at our Savior and go, you must have messed up with me. And I get it. I do it all the time. I mean, I'm standing up here right now going, am I as good at this as Hunter? Am I as good as Kyle? And did I mess up in my career choice? Should I be? And do I have any value? What do I do? And I constantly compare myself and then make judgments on my value based on how I add up to someone else. Paul's analogy also shows us the silliness of doing this. Because he says, hey, the foot might say it, but it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. Hey, the ear might say, I'm not an eye, but it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. You see, Paul comes outright, goes, it doesn't matter what the foot thinks. It doesn't matter what the ear thinks. Perception isn't reality when it comes to comparison. And the same is true for us. Look, just because she's got a better memory and she can memorize more verses at cell group doesn't mean you don't fit in. And just because you think you're the only one with doubts doesn't mean you don't belong. And just because he comes from a better family or her story's cooler or he's more athletic or she's prettier or he's funnier or people like them more or you haven't really been tested, it doesn't mean you don't belong. Just like the foot, your disbelief and your value doesn't change what is real. God made you who you are, how you are. For his glory and for others. Don't doubt that. And yet this might be the greatest lie of Satan. This right here. To convince us that the realest thing about us is what we say about ourselves. Not what God says about us. Do you hear that? I think the greatest lie of Satan is to convince me that what I say and think about myself is the truest thing about me rather than what God says and thinks about me. And when we fall into that lie, we move down a really, really dark path. And this is what it is. You guys are actually going to read this from right to left. When we fall into the lie of Satan, comparing ourselves with others, we let our thoughts dictate our feelings, and we let our feelings dictate our identity, and we let our identity dictate God's. Look at this. Man, I'm just not as cool. I just don't really fit in. I didn't make the team. You know, nobody really knows my name yet. I'm new. I don't think I'm as good as everybody else. And when I begin to think that, I actually begin to feel it. And I go, man, I really feel like I'm not as good as everybody else. And when I feel that, I actually begin to identify myself as less than everybody else. And I begin to go, yeah, they're better than me. They're not just better at things. They're actually a little more valuable. I'm a little less than. And when I believe that I'm less valuable, I'm actually making a statement about God that he messed up on me. And that maybe it's true God does take more time on certain people. And maybe it's true that he perfectly knit everyone else together in their mother's womb, but not me. And I begin to take the all-knowing, all-purposeful, sovereign God and change him into the one who makes mistakes. That's the greatest lie of Satan. And yet we try and fix this problem with an answer that doesn't work. Because Satan has convinced us that we don't belong. And so in order to try and feel like we belong, we let our insecurities change our actions. And to fix this problem, we try and fit in more. We feel like we don't belong, so we try and act out. Well, I don't belong, so I'm going to do whatever it takes to make sure this group sees me and notices me. I don't feel like I fit in anywhere or anybody notices me, so I'm going to do something that will bring attention to me. But the reality is you don't have a belonging problem. You have a believing problem. You don't have a belonging problem. You have a believing problem because we've failed to believe what Scripture says. That is, in fact, God's placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. I don't have to try and belong. God made me to belong. I just have to believe that what he did is right and the way he created me is who he wants me to be. This isn't a pass at sin. This isn't a pass at our sin nature, but what it is trusting that the gifts and talents and the personality that the Lord has given each of us actually has intention. And God actually wants to use us in that way. When we can believe this, we can reverse the pattern. And rather than going right to left, we can start going left to right. And we can let who God is, the all-creating, all-powerful, all-magnificent, caring and kind, intentional God, him, we can let who he is dictate who we are, his perfect creations that he knit together in our mother's wombs. The one that he knows every hair on your head. Your identity becomes sons and daughters of the living God and co-heirs through Jesus to the throne. And when you understand that that's your identity, it actually affects how you feel. And when it changes how you feel, it changes how you think. And when you change how you think and feel and who you are, you actually begin to believe it and you live it. You begin to live like you belong and you reach out to others and show them what it means to actually belong. This is how it ought to be. Our thoughts don't dictate our feelings and our identity in God's, but God's identity informs our identity, which changes our feelings, our thoughts, and our actions. And now I get it. This is hard. This is really hard. Because a lot of the times, even though I know this to be true, I don't necessarily believe it because I don't necessarily feel it. I really don't feel like I'm all that important. And I really don't feel like I have as much value. And I'll be honest, it doesn't always feel like it really matters if I were here. A lot of times it feels like if I weren't here, no one would really notice. And yet, Paul says, if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted to be. You don't have to worry if you don't have the same gifts or talents. That was intended. You don't have to worry if you have a different personality. That was intended. You don't have to worry if your testimony is different. It was intended and is intended to be used by God how he sees fit. And it doesn't just stop there. I mean, look at that. 19, if they were all one part, where would the body be? If we were all the same, where would the body be? If we were all feet, we would have no hands. If we were all hands, we'd have no feet. And if we were all the same, where would everyone else be? It's here that I begin to see the value that the individual brings to the whole body of Christ. Cooper Mackey, where are you? And if you've met Cooper Mackey, you have experienced in part the love of Christ. We can't do this without you. Where's Bethany Davis? Bethany, your joy, your ability to talk to anybody, that matters. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. We miss out when you're not here. Evan Anderson, where are you at? Look at me, son. You belong here. Don't doubt that for a second. And these people here know it, and that group with you knows it. You all belong here. And when we think that it's okay if we were to just slink away, we're not just thinking about ourselves. We're doubting the very promises of God that he made you how he wanted you to be. We're doubting the sovereign Lord that he put inside of you, the personality and the giftings and the talents that he wants to mold to love others and to impact this world. And when we begin to do this, Paul gives us a little bit of a resolution. He says, when we can learn to see our value and trust it, it actually leads to a lack of division in the body. And it actually leads to the body parts having equal concern for each other. You see, I think concern for one another and comparison are polar opposites. When I compare myself to you to see if I add up or not, all I'm doing is looking towards myself. But when I have concern for you to see how I could help, how we could link up, how we could work together, we're actually pushing forward the hands and feet of Christ to this world. And so what do we do with that? Well, the reality is, whether we think it or not, whether our perception says so or not, we belong. And you belong here. Trust that. You don't have to earn anything here. You walk into this room and you're a part of something. We see your value not because of what you've done, but because of who God made you. And that's true here and in the whole body of Christ. That's reality. So what do we do with it? There's three things we can do, but listen to me. These aren't legalistic, hey, God made you belong, so now you have to repay him with these three things. I actually think these things, because our belonging is the gas that enables us, that moves the engine forward to being able to do these. Because I belong, I can stop comparing. Because you belong, you can put your comparisons aside because you know that it does no good. You know your value comes from God and who he says you are rather than what other people think and how you view yourself. You have freedom because you belong to stop comparing. The bondage of constantly wondering if you add up or if you're good enough is gone because you know here you belong. And the same is true. Because you belong, you can be involved. I know so many people who say, oh, I'm a Christian. I met Jesus, I got my ticket, and then they just move out. Man, I don't see any Lone Ranger Christians in the New Testament. Jesus was involved, and don't hear me wrong, I don't think uninvolved means unsaved, but I do think Paul also says uninvolved means unhealthy. You were created to be a part of the body. If you take the hand off the body, it's not really in good shape. And in the same way, if you remove yourself from the rest of the body, you're not in health. You can't grow. You can't use your gifts, your talents, because you were meant to do it together. Man, go to cell group. Link up with your brothers and sisters that you might be the hands and feet of to Northwest Arkansas and the world, the hands and feet of Jesus. And come to church that together you might be a collaborative whole. Work with your parents and other churches. Know that God's movement is bigger than just in your lives, but he wants to use your life to impact his whole movement. The same is true. You get to know, because you belong, you actually can know your gifts, and you get to use them not for yourself, but for others in the Lord. Know what you're good at. Know what your personality enables you to do. Know how the Lord uses you to bless others. And act like that. And so that's actually what we're going to do right now. Is rather than me looking at you and going, hey, so this week, stop comparing, go ahead and get involved and use your gifts. I want you with the person next to you to begin to pray these things together. So if I'm praying with Nick Luttrell, I would look at him and I'm not going to pray for myself, but I'm actually going to go, Father, I pray that you would help Nick Luttrell know his value. That he would understand that you perfectly knit him together, that he would know that you love and care for him. And because of that, he would put aside the comparisons and live in his true identity rather than who he thinks he ought to be. And then I'm going to ask and go, Father, help him to be involved in healthy community, that he might impact those around him and they might walk with him. And Lord, use his gifts for your glory and the benefit of others. And hear me out, if you know the person's gifts, tell them. Don't hold that back. Tell them. Tell them what the Lord has gifted them in and encourage them to use it. And so we're going to give you a few minutes. Do this with the person next to you. Pray over them. Pray for them. Pray with them. That we would give up our comparisons, that we would seek involvement, not just for ourselves, but for others, and that we would use our gifts for the benefit of others and the glory of God. You guys can go ahead and pray. I'll close this out here in a second. Father, it's to you that we cling. It's to you, the one who created us and made us and redeems us, that we cling. And so may we know your love for us. May we know our value. May we trust that we belong. And rather than trying to fix that feeling of not belonging with our performance, may we fix it with your love and our trust in you. Lord, we love you, and it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Communion. And so what I'd love for you to do as you come up and take communion is to come with a heart that's receiving, not taking. This isn't something that you took from Jesus, but it's a gift that you received. That he not only set you free for eternity, but he sets you free today from the bondage of comparisons, from the bondage of sin, and into a life of belonging. And so come, offering him your shortcomings, but rejoicing that his blood forgives them and that his body, which was broken, gives you new life. While we sing this next song, come and take, receiving the gift of God, knowing that it's for your benefit, his glory, and the working of all redemption for all creation.